This is a People First Radio podcast.
The Vancouver Island Construction Association is taking an active role to provide education on substance use, mental health, and pain management to those in the industry. Their Tailgate Toolkit program, which provides training on those topics, received the Canadian Construction Industry's 2024 Community Leader Award. A 2022 BC Coroner's Death Review Panel into illicit drug toxicity deaths between 2017 and 2021 found that over half of those employed at the time of their deaths worked in the trades, transport, or as equipment operators. To learn more about the issue and the Tailgate Toolkit, I spoke with Rory Kumala, CEO of the Vancouver Island Construction Association.
Well, I'm Rory Kumala. I'm CEO of the Vancouver Island Construction Association.
And can you tell me, we're here today to talk about men in the trades and substance use and this initiative to help Tailgate Toolkit. Maybe to begin, what do we know about men in the trades and substance use?
Well, we started this project about 5 years ago as a local initiative on Vancouver Island, particularly really between Victoria and Nanaimo. That's where our two main offices are. And really, it was in response to the coroner's report in 2017 that cited one in five deaths from the opioid and the toxic drug supply were people that actually came from or were related to the construction sector or the transportation or the logistics sector. So really, that kind of encompasses a lot of our blue-collar workers. And what we kind of took from that was to identify some strategies that we could do as an industry to try and help people that are in our sector that are being afflicted by, or affected by either addictions, mental health, and crises that are otherwise resulting in them taking harmful substances that we now know about as the toxic drugs that are out there. So we kind of embrace that. We understand that it was there. And, you know, to your question about why is it our demographic? Well, it is a portion of. This is a societal issue. This is a social issue. It's affecting our workers. And the demographic is almost identical, ages 24 to 53 or 52. They're primarily male. And for our sector, we know that there is something that we can do, so we've chosen to do something about it.
And so, can you tell me a little bit more about what some of those actions you're taking are?
So the Tailgate Toolkit it revolves around four components. One of them is we do the Tailgate Talk, and what that is, and if your listeners are not aware, generally on construction sites, there's something that happens called a tailgate meeting. And that tailgate meeting is really where, before the day starts, workers gather around the tailgate of a truck. They talk about safety. They talk about work plans. They talk about what's going to happen that day. It's kind of like their huddle for the day. We've kind of embraced that as a standard to introduce means that all the employees that come to this and the workers, it's required to be there. So it's not a question of if you want to know about toxic drugs or mental or addictions or all these things, because we tried this. We said, look, if you're interested in learning about this, come to our lunch and learn. Nobody showed up. When you make it mandatory, there's a sentiment that people need to be there, whether you have issues or not. And you know, everybody can stand stoically around and listen. So we use that as a means by which we can connect with our workers. And the result has been resoundingly welcomed, in a sense that when people listen and hear, they'll say, I know somebody that's died from this, or I know somebody who's having some mental distress that may be at risk. So we've really embraced the Tailgate Toolkit as one of the pillars of our program. The second is supervisory training. A supervisory training is directed at the employers. It's a two-day comprehensive work program by which we're able to Kind of work with employers, let them understand what their obligations are. Let them, you know, give them tools that, and resources that they can use for their employees if they feel somebody is at risk. The third element is we've convened a support group, and we facilitate that through the Umbrella Society in Victoria. And they're well versed in mental health and addictions counseling. They're in fact, I would call them experts in that field. And they're using that as a weekly drop-in online support group. It's not faith-based. It's not a 12-step program. It's merely it's really an opportunity for workers who feel they just want to talk or listen to somebody's experience. So the Umbrella Society. And then the final component is a resource package. And the Tailgate Toolkit project is now deployed right across the province. And we do that by leveraging agencies like ours, the Vancouver Island Construction Association. Although we are the root of this initiative, we leverage our membership and our network to get into the community, into the construction community to deliver this program. We've partnered with the other regions of BC, and we're one of four. There's the Vancouver Regional Construction Association, the Northern Region Construction Association, the Southern Interior. We've embedded social workers in those regions to do the tailgate, but we've created resource packages specifically for those regions. We take a concentric model where if one would think at the core of that is, what can I get in my community right away? And we also expand that out as, look for more complex care or more complex resources to places like Vancouver or Victoria. So we make that available. We do handouts, we have brochures, and we have information packages that workers can take from Tailgate Toolkit talks. And they can either discard it, or in some cases it goes on the floor of their truck. But we think that some people are actually using it.
So a big part of the initiative is this idea of a mandatory tailgate toolkit meeting on construction sites where folks are going to be talking about maybe the issue of substance use in general. Like what happens at those tailgate toolkit talks?
Well, it typically would start off with our facilitators are all trained social workers. They're well immersed in the conversation that can be had around the aspects that contribute to a toxic drug overdose. And you roll it back, it could be anywhere from mental health, it could be anywhere from pain management, it could be anywhere from addictions. And those addictions can span anywhere from illicit drugs to alcohol. We cover what does an addiction mean and how can an addiction work on a spectrum or a continuum that can be a casual user, to somebody who does it on the weekends, to how can somebody who is a casual user all of a sudden end up dead? And that really stems from, going to a party on the weekend, I've only tried cocaine once, and all of a sudden I get a bad batch, you're going to die. Particularly if you have no tolerance to such drugs. We're learning a lot about, us as an industry are learning a little bit more about the medical side, the science side behind addictions. And all we're doing in our objective is really to provide information, certainly reduce the stigma, and encourage workers in our sector to get help if they need it. And we say, here is where all the help can come from.
So talking at the beginning about how the sector is maybe overrepresented in the statistics of people who have died from drug poisoning, have you been able to identify any maybe factors that play into that, things kind of inherent to construction work?
Well, a number of years ago, before we went into this project, we did a study. We kind of reviewed kind of what would compel us to develop resources. And, it really came down to a few elements. One of them was, this persona of construction. It's a work hard, play hard attitude. And, this is not secret information. This is a reality of, there's a sentiment on the job site of, putting in a hard day's work and then, letting off some steam at the end of the night. That can lead itself into, you know, into elements of alcohol. It can lead high risk behaviors when it comes to, you know, consuming various kind of narcotics, if you would. So that's one element. Another element is, you know, the pain management. You know, construction over time can take its wear and tear, like any, you know, like any industry that's very physical. So, you know, people who have a knee injury or bad back, maybe turning to, you know, some other substances that are outside the world of prescriptions to try and manage that pain. Another element would be just simply mental wellness. And that's not just construction, that's everywhere. And, you know, people are coming in with, are looking to drugs or other kind of materials to kind of manage their mental health. There's a number of elements when we talk about, you know, just the trauma that comes with people's lifestyles, whether it's PTSD, all of those elements. And again, we have a representation in construction, but this is happening, you know, everywhere in our industries. And the other element is, you know, we provide, you know, well-paying jobs. It provides people with means that they can access. Alcohol, drugs, anything you want that allows you to, that you have to buy. And it really drives home the reality that, you know, what we found in the study for the deaths is that a high proportion of them happen in their own home at night. So we know that it's not an issue that's affecting construction sites. It's something that happens at the weekends, at, you know, when you're alone at night, and you know, it's just a, you know, just want to let off some steam. So it's not any one of them. It could be any one, or it could be all of them at a given time. We just don't know the specifics for any one individual. No different just because they work in construction. The reason we're paying attention to it is because they are in our ranks. You know, if we had an incident, and we do, not if, when we have an incident that, you know, a worker is killed on a job site, we put a lot of resources and effort to remind our workers of the importance of safety. You fall off a roof, fall protection becomes the big conversation of the day. So we spend a lot of effort with our work safe programs and our, you know, our focus on safety on job sites during the day. This necessarily isn't about that. What this is, you know, we do all we can to get the workers to go home safe at the end of the day. We want them to come back the next day. And this is really outside the realm of, you know, an employer's obligation. So this now transcends the, you know, into the worker wellness. And this is all about, it's happening out there. Our industry is affected. And whether it's one or five, I think we have a moral obligation to address it.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm speaking with Rory Kumala, CEO of the Vancouver Island Construction Association. We're talking about their Tailgate Toolkit initiative that provides education and training for members of BC's construction industry on issues regarding substance use, mental health, and pain management. Last year, I was speaking with a gentleman who worked in the trades, and maybe we're talking 15 years ago, he was going through heroin addiction, and it was the kind of thing that, as he was explaining, he could sort of get through the day at work and kind of hide this. And he suggested that if he were going through the same thing today, he likely would not be alive. Is there anything from maybe the changing nature of the drug supply that you can speak to and how this is impacting the construction world?
Well, you just have to listen to the news. We're now getting bulletins in our regions about toxic drug supplies and that there's a bad batch on the street. I don't pretend or to purport that I have any knowledge of understanding that culture, in a sense that, you know, where to get it, how to get it. The fact that it's so toxic in that, you know, the smallest amounts can now, you know, render you unconscious and ultimately kill you is beyond me. And this is the part where we don't get into that element of understanding or working into the treatment options. I think our, you know, our governments are there to really work on this problem. But yeah, it's bad. You know, one of our harm reduction coordinators who has lived experience, And some of our colleagues that help consult on this project are, you know, they are admitting that, you know, if you are not accustomed to taking, you know, amounts of heroin or cocaine, that if you're a first-time user, even a low dose with some of the toxic ingredients, it could kill you. It will kill you if you've not had a tolerance to it. And it's not about, we're not trying to communicate to anybody that says, you know, just take a little bit more. Like, we're trying to get people to move away from the dependency. So our focus is, you know, we do naloxone training. We kind of let them know that, hey, if you know, have a buddy, the buddy system, there's an app you can use, don't use alone. So we are, you know, we are reminding people that are in that place that there are things you can do, but that's not our goal, is to teach them how to use it safely. Our goal is to say, if you got a problem, you need to, and you want to work in this industry, you need to get help. And this doesn't override anything on a job site where there is a zero tolerance for anybody who's on any kind of drugs or drunk or anything on a job site. That's clearly our mandate. We do not want people that are impaired. So our goal is to coach people to say, the information is there, you have a problem. If you need help, here's that resource packages. Here's a 1-800 number you can call. Here's how you can communicate with your employer. And on the other side, we can coach the employer, say, yeah, that person has a problem, but if they had, if they had a problem with diabetes and they couldn't come to work, you know, we're now treating mental illness and dependency as an illness, as a recognized illness. And that employers need to understand that there is a way to treat it. There is a way to help our workers get through it, ultimately to keep them safe and certainly keep everybody else safe.
How have you been able to see the impact of some of these measures you're implementing?
Well, I think one of the things that we're proud of is the uptake of this program. And I've got, you know, some of our recent statistics are, you know, we've been running this program officially in the province for just coming up to 3 years. And, you know, we've reached 6,000 workers in our province, men and women who are, you know, who we've had the Tailgate Toolkits talks to. We've attended over 65 events in all regions of BC. We've spoke to over 6,000 or 7,000 people at these events. We've given out about 670 naloxone kits. Every talk we give to, we have these available. And we've delivered over 7,500 resource packages throughout the province. So in itself, you know, it's not that people aren't listening, but we're seeing that we're able to be invited to a work site, say, come talk to our workers, come share this information. Is it moving the needle? It's tough to say. That the statistics, the monthly statistics, which suggest otherwise, on the general amount of people that are still succumbing to toxic drugs. But we're trying to do our part to get as fewer of certainly our workers or anybody that we can reach to understand what it is, how it can be treated, and that there are resources to help them.
In a number of conversations I've had through this program about substance use or addiction, it comes up that people are kind of turning to substances to address or to help cope with certain things that are going on in their lives. If there's maybe a higher incidence of use or maybe toxic drug deaths from people who are working in construction, are there measures that go beyond addressing, you know, help with addiction into maybe help with some of the things that might be causing people to turn to that in the first place?
Well, I'm not sure if I understand the question. I think from an industry point of view, you know, we're always trying to work safer and smarter. So it's not about introducing stress or introducing a work environment that would contribute to somebody's dependencies. But we do have a reality. It's a very physical job. It's a long, you know, those elements are there. It's a reality. We want fit and healthy people, both body and mind. You know, when we think about the barriers of entry into construction are not extreme. If you have a strong back, you have a creativity, you know, to get into the trades, you know, we want people in the trades. We want young people to pursue it. We desperately need that in our sector. Does it contribute to a higher level of people that are? I don't think that's a fair statement. I think we have to recognize that this is a societal problem, and that because of construction is near, one of the top employers in BC, it only extends itself to say that, yeah, that, it's going to affect construction. Is it a catalyst for this? I don't think that's fair. I think a lot of people come into this sector already having issues or mental health issues. It's not a question of does it create it in the construction sector. I don't think that's a fair statement.
Gotcha. And I don't mean to imply that, I don't know, I don't have some kind of like agenda, right? But I'm just curious, like, where the elevated numbers are coming from. You feel that it's maybe just related to other factors outside of the work itself?
I think a good part of it, I think there's a certain element of coincidental, in a sense that the demographics, again, our workforce is primarily males. It's primarily between the ages of 20 and 54. Those demographics alone, we have a low entry barrier for, as far as, people that work and make good living at it, good money at it. But it's, people can, literally, with the amount of work going on. And what gets lost in these statistics, I think, is a little bit more of, this element to kind of pull apart the statistics. And we can say 1 in 5 or 1 in 4 come from construction. What they talk about is there is a person that has worked in construction. So they may have worked in construction for a very short period of time and may have gone to a restaurant. The last job they had was a laborer on a construction site. The last, and they not mean consistent in the industry. They come in, they come out. We don't know that for sure, but we do know that, somehow they've, the coroner's report, and I believe they use your last T4. They kind of say, if you were earning, where was the last job you had? And they look, well, it was in construction. But I wouldn't be interested in always, where else did that person work? Did they work on, in hospitality? Did they work in some other sector that, it just happens to be that, they were working in construction, and, now we're being, and now it's being tied to that, that statistic that they're coming from construction. And it is it's 1 in 4, 1 in 5. There's a huge barrier. There's a huge number of them now that are unhoused and unhoused, and we see that in our communities. Any given street in the Nanaimo, Victoria, or Vancouver, huge homeless issues. So there's a lot of things contributing to people's wellness now that is gone beyond their employer.
So would it maybe be fair to say then that you feel there might be an overlap between some of the factors that might lead someone to be using substances and some of the factors that might lead someone to be working in construction, rather than there is something that construction is doing that is leading people to use substances?
Well, maybe it's a good paycheck, right? It's affording people access to things that they probably otherwise wouldn't have. I don't know for sure. We have a stakeholder group, an advisory committee that's made up that are, that they're there to bring real life experience. It says, why are you a user? And what was your experience? And they can tell us, it was the bravado of being a male in a male dominated industry. It was the don't talk, don't say, you just suck it up buttercup approach to mental health. And then at home, they would self-medicate just to get through the night or get through the day. We don't know that, but that's just not resolving itself in construction. That's resolving itself, for every element of our economy. And we can't have numbers as high as they are and everybody coming from construction. It's not practical. It's not reasonable. And it's not the reality of the people that are succumbing are not they're not the cornerstone of our industry. They're the cornerstones of our community. And we just happen to employ them. And so I think we're struggling with a bit of the characterization that construction can then lead to somebody who, gets into substance use or abuses, their mental health declines. Again, it's not, I think we have a bigger problem out there and we're just feeling the effects of it.
So then is there maybe a message you'd want to pass on to folks who aren't working in the trades or who aren't working in construction when it comes to all of this?
Well, the reality is that we're paying attention. Like, we know it's out there. And, Even if it's not so much that it resolves itself in somebody dying from toxic drugs, we embrace elements around addictions, around dependencies, whether you're an alcoholic, whether you have a nicotine dependency. You know, there are characterized, there's things that our people are struggling with on a daily basis. And again, they're working in all ranks of our economy. For us, it's about there is help. Here's where you can find resources. Having an employer that is now taking the conversation from intolerance to into assisting and saying, yeah, you know, being impaired on a job site is not acceptable, clearly. But you have it, you know, if you're coming to work hungover and it's affecting your job, you might need help. And how can we coach our sector to get people supports that they want, that they need? So we can break it up into, you know, it doesn't matter what your addiction or where your mental health is, that somebody struggling can be struggling for any reason. A buddy system can be clearly just something that says, you know, how can you need help? You look like you're struggling. What can we do? Here's the local mental health hospital. Here's some resource. Here's that resource package I talked about, whether it's suicide prevention, whether it's pain management, whether it's addictions, whether it's mental health. There are avenues out there that workers may not think to go and look, or they just don't understand or don't know how to find it. If we can nudge them in that direction, I think that's the service we're providing to our sector.
This is People First Radio. I'm Joe Pugh. My guest is Rory Kumula, CEO of the Vancouver Island Construction Association. We're speaking about their Tailgate Toolkit program. It provides education and training for members of BC's construction industry on issues regarding substance use, mental health, and pain management. So it's all about recognizing that this is a thing, making sure that the culture shifts away from maybe this idea of I need to be stoic and get through this and push through this to there are resources available to help you, and we can even put you in touch with those. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's about providing education and reducing stigma, right? That's what the struggle is. And, you know, that's what I think the reality of anybody who's going through a mental health crisis or an addiction is to let them know their resources. And they often make these journeys alone. And that's where they isolate and they self-medicate, or they overindulge in their drug of choice or their, you know, whatever they consume. And at the end of the day, it can affect them negatively, and it affects our industry. And we're not here to break people. We're not here to cause them pain. We're not here to, you know, put your time in. At the end of the day, we want to discard you and let you perish in some, you know, dismal way. These are very bold moves, I think, as a community we need to take. And, you know, if construction is kind of taking the lead for our workers, it's my hope that we do this for all the people in our communities. Particularly if we look at our crises around homelessness and the mental health mental health issues that are affecting so many people. We're feeling that, you know, it just spills over to a sector, and construction seems to be one of those ones where people are focusing on, and we're just saying, well, don't focus on us, but we are doing this for our workers.
This idea maybe that we're shifting from 100 years ago, a job was just something you would show up to work your requisite amount of time, to now your employer has a vested interest in making sure that, you know, outside of work, everything is going well. So that, one, so that you can continue to work, and two, so that you can, you know, also just be a contributing, healthy member of your community.
Yeah, you know, 20 years ago, our health plans never had anything around mental health, you know, and now it's really becoming in some cases, I think there is a crisis. There is a mental health crisis out there, and people are manifesting it in different ways, and it's all negative. And the resources are, you know, they're a challenge to get to, they're the challenge to find. Our goal is maybe we can streamline that for you. And here's a call number you can use. Again, these are little tools that worker, you know, or, you know, as a, you know, that middle-aged man would say, or male could say, look, I can take care of it. I'll just get through it. And they fall apart at night. And, you know, maybe it's that one time they make a call that says, or call our support group and say, you know, I don't know what my problem is, but I'm feeling something inside me is kind of boiling, and, you know, I'm going to burst and something's going to give. That's, again, that's happening to everybody. And I think as a sector, that's what our goal is, to try and say, we're paying attention. We care about our workers. We need our workers. And we want them to be healthy at the end of a, not just the end of the day, but the end of a career. So, you know, that may sound a little cliche in a sense, or, you know, altruistic, but the goal is clearly, we just want good, healthy workers out there. And if there are people who are struggling, I think it's about time we start to say, okay, hey, you know, Joe, you feeling okay today? You having a tough day? I'm here to talk. Even those little sentiments go a long way. And those are the kind of things we want to coach on a job site. You know, let's bring that buddy system back. And, you know, if you're having a bad day, let's maybe see if we can get you a little help.
Is there anything else you think it's important to bring to this conversation today?
Yeah, I think the Tailgate Toolkit project has been something that we've deployed right across the province. It's open to any company that is involved in construction, working with trades. We're welcoming it all. We're in the trade schools for the, you know, introducing it to young apprentices. But if anybody is interested in learning more or scheduling a Tailgate Toolkit talk, they simply have to go to our website, bicabc.ca. We have a link to our Tailgate Toolkit program. You can connect with us through there, and we'd be happy to come to your job site and your work site and provide this service free of charge. It's something we're eager to do.
Rory Kumala is CEO of the Vancouver Island Construction Association.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.